The Albany Symphony. Is that you, by the way?
That is.
Man, damn, that is good. The Albany Symphony recently announced the release of its latest album, featuring three new works by distinguished New York composer George Santakis. Recorded in Troy, New York, at the American Music Festival and at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, the album was released on August 11th by Naxos Records, the world's largest independent classical music record label. That's the 29th recording that has come out from the Albany Symphony Orchestra. The 30th came out on September 15th. Wow. So we have a lot to catch up with. Here to tell us more are the maestro of the orchestra, David Alan Miller, composer George Santakis, and ASO principal trumpet, Eric Berlin. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us. What a great pleasure to have you all here.
It's our
pleasure.
Let us talk about this beautiful album, American Classics, and this is it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. This was recorded when? When was
George?
Actually?
George picked the picture, right, George?
Yes.
He selected the image on the front of this beautiful thing. Is that what you mean by it's beautiful? It's beautiful to look at.
I meant the music.
The music is beautiful.
I meant the content of the music.
Right, the
picture
is beautiful.
But the listeners can't see that, so let's not talk about it.
No, it's true. It is radio.
Yes. Right. So how did all this come about?
Well, you know, we have had and continue to have a very active recording schedule at the Albany Symphony. It's something we really care deeply about. Unlike most other orchestras, we don't record pieces that have already been recorded, essentially. In fact, virtually never. It's kind of like our policy. And so even though recording has changed dramatically, there's a lot less of it now, particularly orchestral recording because it's so expensive, a lot of that recording went away because orchestras were making their own version of the Beethoven 7th Symphony in its 4,856th version. And we don't really do that. We really just focus on pieces that have never been heard before and can't be heard otherwise, so we can get out works by our greatest living composers.
So, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but you don't do it for the money necessarily.
So, Joe, we so don't do it for the money. It's such a money loser. You have no idea.
It does get it out there. And that's the important part.
To make a real high-level studio recording, the kind of recording we do, where it's not just capturing the live performance and putting it on a disc. It's actually going into the studio, back into the hall, and doing extensive session work afterwards, and then having our great producer, Silas Brown, weave it together and make it perfect. That can cost, $80,000 to $100,000 per disc. So it's an incredible expense, but we really feel it's a worthwhile expense because it does get these great works out into the world. And when Naxos, for example, releases a disc, that goes everywhere. You know, it's a huge presence in Asia and in Europe, and very exciting to have this disc around. So we've already gotten our first review from Gramophone Magazine, which is the most elite English and, frankly, international magazine about recording, and they gave it a beautiful review.
And this is obviously to have George's work out, but this is how you get the Grammys too. I mean, that doesn't hurt
either.
It's
true, Joe. If you don't have a CD, you don't get a Grammy. You have to try.
So this is Grammy award-winning recording.
We are trying. We think it's Grammy level. It's just a matter of whether we can get the kind of notice we want. Eric, actually, our wonderful principal trumpeter, has himself been Grammy nominated in addition to being nominated with the symphony. So, and George has had three nominations. So we're hopeful, but you never know with the Grammys. They're very hard to figure out which direction they'll go.
So, George, tell us a little bit about these three works, how they came together, and why this project is important to you.
Well, first, David, you're reminding me, I'm thinking back that how lucky I've been over the years to have the Albany Symphony. This is the second CD that they've done. And I'm thinking about all the money that's been wasted on my music at this point, after you describe, because I've been lucky. I realize this.
We're waiting for your check. That's right. Waiting for the big check.
This makes 14 orchestral works of mine commercially recorded, and I don't know how a young composer could possibly do that today. But I was very fortunate over the years. It's almost 5 hours of music, so it is a very expensive undertaking, and to have two with the Albany Symphony. I was saying I had a work premiered by Boston Symphony last season, and this sounds like that level. I mean, it's incredible.
And what's really exciting for us is that two of the three pieces on the disc were commissioned by us specifically, toward this recording, and we're particularly delighted that one of them features our own principal trumpet player, one of the great trumpet players in the orchestral world, Eric, who's sitting to my right. So it's a great chance to showcase the incredible virtuosity from within the orchestra as well.
Tell us a little bit about the piece we just heard.
Well, that the first recording we did with George is where that this whole thing started.
Okay.
George wrote a wonderful percussion concerto for it was written for Evelyn, right? Evelyn Glennie?
Yes.
And we recorded it with another great percussionist, Colin Curry. It's a piece called Mira Loya. And it starts out with a short little burst of percussion, and then it just opens up to a solo trumpet line which spans two octaves connected, and it's like it moved me so deeply, and I fell in love with his music, and we immediately started talking about a trumpet concerto, and I was trying to find ways to fund it myself, and all of a sudden, David, in probably the greatest gift he could ever give a principal trumpet, made this commission happen. He and the orchestra made this commission happen, so...
Well, could I just mention that trumpet solo when I wrote it? I said, nobody can play this. what am I doing? And this guy played it. And of course, it was premiered by, National played it, BBC Symphony. Yeah. And this guy played it like it was a violin, just leaping lyricism.
It was all the things I love to do.
And so. What's particularly beautiful about this trumpet concerto, it's called True Colors,
yes.
is George, being the ultimate contrarian, you can already hear that in his his approach to everything, really wrote, in a certain way, an un-trumpet concerto, which I guess I should let him explain to you.
All my concertos are un-concertos anyway. But the gramophone, they spelt everything they described all colors with L-O-U at the end. But they left our True Colors with only an O.
that's nice.
Well, tell us what's different about it from other concertos.
Well, the most concertos, it's kind of like there's a superhuman, this amazing person that does all these virtuosic type of things. For me, it's the music. I mean, the instrument playing naturally. It's not monkey jumping up and down on stage doing gymnastics. It's about the music. And I actually find, like in historic concertos, I don't like the cadenzas. I just don't like them. It usually distracts from the musical line, and it's a sideshow.
Yeah, that's the moment where everything stops and the soloist goes off and does all sorts of either improvisatory or planned showing off by him or herself.
And you didn't get a cadenza.
No
Krakauer
cadenza.
Got a cadenza.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a little cadenza, but I didn't want to give you one.
Well, I think that it's very important to point out it does require some superhuman things to do on that concerto, George.
But it asks the trumpet to do very gentle, expressive, beautiful things. We usually think of the trumpet as being a power instrument, which it certainly is.
Yeah.
But and Eric is such a lyrical player when he wishes to be.
That's, but I'm fascinated by this idea, George, that you write it and you say, well, who could play this? I mean, obviously that's something you have to keep in mind.
I spent a lot of time at George's house, and he got to know me, and that my story of how I started playing trumpet is part of what George was thinking in this concerto too.
It's good to work with the soloist. Like for Boston, I work with your friend David Miller's friend Rob Sheena, the fantastic English horn player, and you came over they all come over my house, and I give them some sketches, and if something's awkward, well, Krakauer spent a couple days.
There's a clarinet concerto for the great klezmer and classical clarinetist David Krakauer also on the disc.
And Krak came over, and he's playing these trills that I wrote. He said, you can't play this trill. You can't do this tremolo. This Eric could play everything.
But that's an interesting point about composers. Very often composers will just decide they want it this way, and they'll push the potential of the instrument. And we have a perfect example of that actually on our November concert, we have a big gala October 14th to open the season, but then our first subscription concert mid-November, we're doing the Rite of Spring. And the Rite of Spring begins with this ungodly bassoon line. Where the bassoon is totally out of the range of standard range of the bassoon. And bassoonist said, oh, that can't be done. And then the first bassoonist did it, and now it's standard rep. So this idea of composers sort of exploding what's possible for an instrument. That's one of the exciting things about
Stravinsky. Stravinsky wanted that to sound like this horrible, sound like a folk instrument.
And now they all sound beautiful.
It's too beautiful.
He said he would write it up another third if he knew, and they could play it the way they do it now.
So we have 5 minutes and a whole lot to get to. So,
I know. We got to let you ask the questions.
No, that's all right.
We're big talkers.
I love when you ask the questions. That's one of my favorite things.
Joe, what instrument
do you
play?
So let me ask a couple of things. First of all, Tell me about, you mentioned the clarinet piece, but the three pieces, just talk about the, we spent a lot of time on the trumpet concerto, obviously, the two other pieces on the new CD and the new disc.
There's a beautiful piece for David Krakauer, the great clarinetist, and because he has this great tradition in
Krak,
as he's called, in klezmer, it sort of has, and because George is Greek-American, it has Greek and klezmer elements called anasa, breath. And there's also a beautiful little double violin concerto called Unforgettable, not to be confused with the Nat King Cole song, although it does make oblique reference to it at a certain point. But three beautiful, George is a great colorist, so this is an incredible, colorful album, really a beautiful thing.
The Albany Symphony Orchestra, David Alan Miller conducting American Classics. The CD is now out, and you can find out more about that. We should also mention that the brand new CD is Simple Songs, Aaron J. Kernis.
Also
another great,
gorgeous
friend.
Disc. And fortunately, in a way, because it's all vocal, the two discs don't really compete with each other from a Grammy perspective or from any perspective. We've got the all-orchestral concerto disc by George and the all-vocal disc with the great Thalise Trevenier, Aaron Kernis's orchestral songs. She's the brilliant soprano who sang Bess. If you happened to get Glimmerglass this summer, she did a beautiful job in that production of Porgy and Bess at Glimmerglass.
That's great. Now, you have a season coming up on top of all of this.
We do.
And
time to get serious.
All begins October. We want to sell as many discs as possible, but let's get people going to the
theater.
Since
we don't make money on the discs.
Yeah,
let's actually
sell some tickets. Right. I hate to be so crass talking to you, but after all, in the nonprofit world. We're trying to do what we can.
People are fascinated to hear how unprofitable the arts are. It's incredible.
Yeah, they are fascinated. Why do you do that?
Exactly.
So the opening night gala is Saturday, October 14th at the Palace Theater, 7 o'clock, and some great stuff. Talk a little bit about how this particular program came together.
It's Star Wars. We actually wanted to do something that had reference to film. So we have the one of the first great pioneers of film, Eric Wolfgang Korngold, beautiful new piece by Lauren Leocono, a wonderful young composer, and then the big Star Wars suite. So a great concert to bring the kids to. It's about 70 minutes, intermissionless, and we have a big gala party afterwards. And then the official opening, as I mentioned, is the next month. Another great thing to bring the kids to, the family, because it's the Rite of Spring, Sorcerer's Apprentice, and this great David Del Tredici about Rip Van Winkle, our own local celebrity who fell asleep and woke up a little disoriented. So two charming things. And then actually the day after that November concert, our family series starts with a Mozart concert. And in December, we do a gigantic Mozart mini marathon the second weekend of December. That's a week after we normally do our Magic of Christmas, which we'll do. So we have a lot of things going on from October through December, and then the season continues from there. But
that's
great stuff. AlbanySymphony.com, all sorts of information. We love everybody to come on down and hear the orchestra. They sound magnificent. When you hear Eric, that's just indicative of how great the level is. I mean, these are great virtuoso performers who are in the Albany Symphony.
How long have you been with the orchestra?
It was 1998 was my first season, so we're on 19. Next year will be 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's fairly common. You have players who have been there for a long time.
We do, and that's so beautiful about it. We have players who have been in the orchestra for 35 years, and we have players who have been in the orchestra for 1 year. We just hired a new bass trombonist yesterday. Eric and I sat on an audition committee for 8 hours yesterday. We heard 30 unbelievable bass trombonists. That's third trombone. And we picked a brilliant guy from Boston who's going to be joining us. So the orchestra's forever rejuvenating itself, and we have this wonderful admixture of the experienced members and the not so experienced members. But Eric can maybe just say a word about why he thinks the orchestra is special, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. And I give great credit to the Capital Region's audiences for supporting the mission that we have here. I think there are many regional orchestras all around the country, but nothing compares to the amount of impact that we have on not only music today, but music of the recent past that we record. And I mean, this is going to last for the future. This is going to be here forever.
I just say, no orchestra in the country comes close to what you guys do in promoting new music. And you make it work. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, then our audiences, I think, really appreciate the value of it alongside the great classics. You know, we've got our Beethoven and our Tchaikovsky and all the classics on the season, but we also have the greatest voices of today and tomorrow.
But I'm sorry, go ahead, Eric.
I was just going to say, and I think that's one of the things that congeals the orchestra around this mission, and you have such great players that continue to just be committed to this orchestra.
And great halls.
Yes.
Acoustics are so important.
Really
you got the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall.
Yes. MPAC.
You have MPAC and sometimes Up in Saratoga.
Up in Saratoga, and of course, yeah. The Palace Theater. We have wonderful venues.
What is that? Is that Zankel Hall?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Great stuff. So now you, I want to get, you have more recording projects. So then you're going to be recording this season for the next.
Absolutely. We're constantly, we actually just completed.
I was going to say churning this stuff out. I don't mean it. Finally craft and put out, right?
Yes. We just completed a Michael Dougherty disc, and we're going to the Kennedy Center to play a great program as part of a big festival there, the Shift Festival in April. And we're going to release Michael's disc just before that because one of his pieces is on the festival. And then we have probably two discs a year for the next 3 years that are in various stages of completion.
That's great. And George, what are you up to?
I'm taking a break from composing.
He always says that.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out.
I've been trying to quit for 30 years.
Because I'm going to be in Italy during the last concert, you can scratch my name off the program. Can we say that here?
I don't know.
I don't know. There is a program out there that has your name on it, but it shouldn't be because you're not going
to
be there.
Well, it's to be determined. But I'm headed for Wigmore Hall at the end of October for a new work by Mobius of London that Wigmore Hall commissioned, and then I'm back to the States for a piano quartet. And
George is a very busy professor at Bard College and the Bard Conservatory, and one of the great teaching composers as well, you know, his colleague Joe
Tower. You mentioned
Lauren
Locano. She was a student of mine at Aspen, of course.
So very busy, active, important composer in the pantheon of American music.
If you don't believe it, ask him.
Just ask me. His adoptive mother.
Right. How much does it, and I only have a minute, but how much do you have to, I mean, are you ever at this point saying, I wish someone would call for a commission, or do you just wait for the phone to ring?
No, David knows I'm waiting for the phone not to ring. I love these breaks.
He doesn't answer the phone.
I took
you
a
don't
few
answer
months
the phone.
Off. No, I mean, if you pile up these pieces to write, and some eventually you can pick and choose what you like. But things have ebb and flow, and there are some times that I'd like. It depends on what to write. You write for the Albany Symphony, write for the Boston. You want to stay up on that grade.
But it's
grade.
Creativity on deadline.
Absolutely.
The new album is available from Naxos Records. The Albany Symphony Orchestra's opening night gala is Hollywood Favorites, Star Wars, and More. That's on October 14th. You can find information about all of it. The brand new discs, the concerts, everything, bios, ticket information, everything.
$5 off coupons.
That's right.
For orange juice.
Coupons. Uh-huh. AlbanySymphony.com. AlbanySymphony.com for more information. David Alan Miller, George Santakis, and Eric Berlin, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. We'll be right back.